Okay, for the record, Ebert, listen. Welcome, everybody. Before we can start with the boring stuff, maybe we should go to the interesting stuff. We have a very nice lady who's helping us, giving us coffee and things, so if you would just ask her. Yeah? Okay. Basically, as usual, we are going to talk a little bit about what we're doing this time and what we want to do next time, and then any other business, which is usually the major point. To go through the agenda for this time, hang on. I mailed it out. Christina asked me, and I forgot to do that. You must tell me more often that I put the affiliations in. I don't have enough space on the agenda to put the affiliations. The topics are usually longer than one line, so I shorten them up, but I will go and look this up. Hang on. I'll just find the right directory. So, okay. As usual, we start at 10:30. I'll open the make the usual opening remarks, and then .ph apparently has got some platform. They say registry platform, but I personally think it's more like a registrar platform. Rumor has it that after many years of malingering Coca-Tools, they are now using Coca-Tools. We haven't seen this officially, but we have seen some images where some people had issues, and it appears that they're using it, which is fine. It's open source, not a problem. But they seem to have a registrar tool. If that is, it's going to be open source. So if it is open source, I always think we allow a little bit of marketing. If we give the source code away, it may be helpful to some. It supports Thread as much as Coca-Tool, apparently, so I think it's a good thing to let them speak. And we haven't had some from .ph for quite a while, so I felt about that. Then we have Corey Schroot, who will talk about what it takes to set an ICANN meeting. We had this discussed this last time. I think this is going to be a very cool and very interesting forum. By the way, in that context, we have had an election in Namibia, and the artist formerly known as the Minister of ICT didn't make it to Parliament, which means he's retiring. And that means that the current vice chair of the GAC, the director, has got more incentive to come to an accommodation with us, and they're making very polite noises. We are also cooperating very well with them now. Because if they agree that we are part of the solution and not part of the problem, then of course we will do this. So that boils down into 2017. We are looking at applying for that meeting in 2017. He is very keen on this, and we had Luis consult with us for the last 2 weeks, and he brought his wife with, so we took him to a game drive and. You probably, if you have ICANN Social, you see what I mean. There is some really cool stuff. We tell you this is a really nice place to go before the meeting. Then Jeff Houston is going to talk about some routing stuff. I don't really know what it is, but Jeff is somebody, if he says he wants to speak, he doesn't have to give me a topic. He will always get 20 to 30 minutes. He's one of the really all-time greats, and I see you're smiling. I think you would agree with me if people like this or Cricket Liu, for example, I met in LA, and I also said if he ever wants to have is on a meeting and wants to give a presentation, just send me a note, and we'll these people of certain stature will always find it easy to get something. Then we had a little issue about the .tz presentation. The presenter got funded, and then Gabi asked me a while back about whether he can make a presentation, and I said, sure, but I must run it by our program committee. And she didn't like that, and then she made a remark which I didn't think was really appropriate, and she said she knew then whether to ask chairs of a certain working group for the future again. So I complained to the chair of the MCCNSO, who said he didn't respond well to pressure and responded very well to pressure. And Gabi didn't need any pressure, but I think it was not appropriate if we have, of course, in the end, if I want to have a presentation on, we have a presentation on. But what we usually, what I feel very important, if one of you has a presentation that he wants to make, or one of you feels he doesn't want to see a presentation, then that's what we have been doing in the past, and I don't think we should let anyone sort of decide how we run this. And I think if we do this by consensus, or at least sort of rough consensus, that's better than to have the chair making all the decisions. André was first. So you raised your hand a little bit. Okay. Nigel?
How do I do? Much as Eberhardt's decisions on the program are ones that we almost never disagree with, I think it's very important that, this doesn't become just, you know, Eberhardt being the program committee on his own and making the decisions, and that he does refer to these meetings and the email list, because otherwise, why do we bother? He can just make decisions on his own. So, please.
In that context, it's probably good to mention that Nigel is on council, on the CCNSO council. Not that it makes any real difference, but it's good that we have. I would, for example, like to have people like Thomas Rickert or Volker Kreimann from the GNSO council start coming to this, and we would, of course, also like Jacques, who is not really formally on the working group, but he's part of the program committee. Everybody who has got something to contribute can join this. And I feel very strongly that I really don't want to make decisions. I'm not always an expert. I'm not an expert on many things. I know a lot of many things, but I'm not an expert in some things. And that's why we have experts on many fields here. If one of you says, I really don't want it, then that's already something. But if two people say we don't want it, it's not happening. And if two people, or one person says, no, I want this really much, and nobody else opposed, then it's happening. Yeah. So I feel very strongly about that. We should not let this dictate either staff or me or anybody how we do these things. This should be done in a professional manner so that we have got rough consensus on this. In the end, what then happened is that Gabi came 2 weeks or 3 weeks later and asked me again whether I would accommodate him. And the topic is so interesting that I don't think he's presenting because he gets funding. He should get funding because he's presenting. Yeah. If I had known about it and he couldn't have come on other funding, that's, for example, a topic that I would have suggested to use our funding that we have on the budget for to put somebody who has a good topic but who can't afford to come to put them on once in a while. We haven't used this yet, but if we have speakers from developing countries that do things, and that is the other African country that TLD that does signing, that we should support. Then the identity registration protocol, I don't really know much about it, but we'll hear on the presentation. I think you got me in touch with this.
Yes, so the Singapore office identified some local presenters who might be options for Tech Day, and then I took those back to the working group to say, here's some choices. If you're interested, we can follow up.
Okay, we should actually always say our names. That if we put it on the if we ever read the recording or the notes, that we know who spoke. Nigel,
I'm actually going to be quite keen. Nigel Roberts, I'm actually going to be quite keen to listen to this presentation. Thank you. They're very keen on identity management here, so much so that I bought a SIM card, local SIM card, a couple of days ago, and you have to go take your passport. Fine. A couple of days later, I get a text message saying I have to go to some office in the centre of town to re-register because the identity management protocol didn't work. So, it'd be quite interesting.
Yeah, this is in Namibia. In Namibia, it's similar. So when we got Louis the SIM card, my son went and registered it on my name so that we use it for the future. That's not really going to be a problem. If we have an ICANN meeting, we make a plan that the local cell phone company will have probably then get instructions from the vice chair of the GEC how to deal with this, and then we can sort of have a booth at the ICANN meeting. If somebody wants a SIM card, they can get it there. Patrick?
Yes, thank you very much. I was thinking I'll come back to this when we talk about what we're going to do at the next ICANN meeting. But let me just say that, pre-announce that we in ESSAC, we are having a work party on credential management specifically for registrars. And that report should be enough to, I could whip up those people that have been working with that to have a presentation at the next Tech Day.
Excellent. I've got another presentation which I will speak to already lined up, so the earlier we can get, the better. And then Nigel will speak about securing his how he secured his registry with IPsec in, on a more general level. And then we had at my other working group, Denham, we had occasional issues with connectivity. On the telephone bridge. I also noticed this on other working group that especially African or members from developing countries find it extremely difficult to dial out. There is no local dial-out number, and when I can phone them, it often doesn't work. But often the IP connectivity is good enough to use Adobe Connect, and so we should at least offer people who do this a choice of that they figure out how to just switch the put a headset on with a microphone and switch the audio that you can speak and hear over Adobe Connect. Many people don't know this. You cannot only listen to Adobe Connect, you can actually speak. And if the other ones fail, that's at least an option. I personally dial always in with SIP. I have a SIP server, a privately managed SIP server in the UK that I make access of, and it's a local dial-in number, a toll-free dial-free number in the UK, works very well. I personally think that ICANN should set up such a SIP server in the US, which is then configured, if necessary, via VPN, that people who, ICANN participants who want to connect must get credentials, can log in there so that it cannot abuse, and they can only dial certain toll-free numbers. That might be a service to connect to these bridges, which is also cheaper and works very well. They said the last option that works that one can use, which doesn't work so well, is you can use Skype and then use a US-based toll-free number that also works, but it kicks you off, especially since Microsoft took it over, it works less reliable, I think. Yeah, but since everybody has got Adobe Connect, I felt it was important that we sort of do a practical again, and the IT team from ICANN Central is, Josh Balch is going to be there. If there is a demand, he does it. If there is nobody there, then we don't do it. But I wanted to have this available so that especially in our working group we have some issues that people can use this. Then,
Christian Hesselman, .nl. So at 12:10, there's also a presentation on the Seeker working group.
Oops.
Yeah, that's all right.
Oops.
So I'll just give a brief update on where we stand there and also the steps, the next steps and the way forward.
Sure. I hope 10 minutes is enough.
Yeah, it is.
If working groups that have something to do with technical ask, we usually find without any much ado to find space to put them in because it's also important. Okay. In the afternoon, we have the usual IETF presentation. I don't know what Mark Blanchett is going to really speak about, but that's his thing. Then Vicky Risk from IRC has approached us. They are decommissioning DLV. Maybe it's a good idea to make this as widely known as possible so that TLDs making use of this can arrange alternatives or rather sign it properly and get into the route like you're supposed to. Then the host, we didn't really want to have another host presentation because after the third try within 5 years in Singapore, we all know how well they run these things. But they came up with a topic, they have developed some business intelligence, so that's as good as anything. I like the local host presentation because it's always cool to find out what they're doing in the place you're visiting. But if you've heard it for the third time, then it's not really necessary. But I still find it's important that you offer the host, especially in Asia. It's a matter of politeness and things to offer them that presentation of their choice if they want to have one. And then the last, I'm just cutting over the practical intentionally, then we have got a presentation by Paul Waters about new DNSSEC technologies. I haven't looked too much into this, but I'm sure it's going to be interesting. And then Jay, who sends his apologies, he is not yet here, will be here tomorrow, and I will nail him with the usual closing remarks. And that brings us to our little practical thing. And I just want to show this. As I said, Diego has been visiting Namibia, and I have bought 6 of those little smart cards. And Rick Lump sent me another 2, so we have got 8. They cost about €20 a pop. And you can only get it from a German company, as far as I'm concerned, or you can get it from a German company, as surely they are manufactured somewhere and other companies have it. But we found there is a German company, so it's easy for me to order them when I make a turn and pick them up at my family's house. We've got 8 of those, and we have got a few card readers. And we have got basically 3 different ones. This is one that Diego bought in the bank in Costa Rica. This is an old one, SC331, old reader that Rick Lamp sent us. Yeah, old one. We've got 2 more of these old ones. And then we found that the replacement of this company is a 2700F cloud card reader, and the company has got an outlet in Singapore, and they deliver to the Stamford Hotel. So we've got 10 of those. I'm going to give 2 to Stephen, because he did me a small favor, and Nigel, who picked them up, so he also gets 2. But we've got a few then left over, which we can, if necessary, give out, or if somebody wants to give me the 30 Singapore dollars we paid for it back, then we can... Yeah. I'll give the money to you, then, and your invoice to us will be smaller. But the point is, if somebody is really keen, we can give a few of those away. And I like to have different card readers so that you can experiment that they all work, and the more that the software is working. We use OpenSC, works very well. We took the script that Rick Lamp has developed for his ceremony. He has got them on a read-only ISO image that you then burn on a DVD. And we, of course, pulled the script that he had out into a USB stick, which we then copied onto the Mac and sort of picked them apart. And it is about 10 lines of 10 commands to do that, which we can do on the Mac. We cannot write the sign on the Mac yet. There is one program that Rick has written which we didn't get to compile. We didn't put much effort in it because it runs on Linux, where the signing is usually done, but we're working on getting somebody to compile this. Rick Lamp will attend to it if he's got time, but we also make other initiatives to get this done. The idea is it's really simple. Yeah, to write it, to put a Kiosk key in his shell script with a little dialogue, I can even, I'll show you, push a button, chop, it runs. It's relatively, it took us 2 days to figure this out. So it's not difficult, and there is no excuse for not trying or not experimenting with that. What it then will do, it will have the KS key in hardware, it will sign in the operating system of the card, apparently. In other words, you at least have the next step of securing DNSSEC away from having the private key on a system that can be cracked. You now have to gain entry into the facility to steal the card, and then we will even know you cannot just replace it. So that's relatively simple. We're going to work on the presentation. We also can demonstrate the signing of the zone and the signing of the resource sets. We have to cheat a little bit by running CentOS in a window, in a virtual machine. We can then make it so that it looks like a normal window. We can sort of transition out of the CentOS file system onto the Macintosh file system, so it works in the same Macintosh directory. It's relatively simple. We put 2 card readers in. One goes to the virtual machine. One goes on the Mac. You just switch the card, and it works like. So it's relatively simple. That's not a production thing. It's just more like proof of concept. you might not necessarily say a laptop, an Apple laptop is the, with wireless and everything is the safest method to do it in an auditable fashion, but once you start, how you start is to start playing with it and you see it can be done. And then you develop the concept, the writing of the auditing scripts is already done, so you sort of adapt this, this to your things. So that's what we set 2 hours aside. We probably have too much time for that. Probably going to, we were quite impressed with ourselves because it went much faster than we thought it is. But still, we can go through systematically from the beginning with a formal presentation, then run it a few times to show how it's done. We can even create some backup keys so that they see it can all be done. And then I went to the actual effort of buy some tamper-proof proof bags. I've put some cards in here just to show how it looks like. We've got this one is not transparent, obviously, but for customs purposes, we also have got some transparent bags so that you can put things into transparent tamper-proof bags, and then you go through customs, they can see what it is, and then they won't have to open it. If they don't know what it is, you will have to open it, and then you break the rule. My server stands in Germany, so I will sort of put my things in tamper-proof bags and give it to Magnip, the owner of the... GNSO is the owner of the data center. And they are an ICANN-approved registrar, so their access controls are ICANN-approved. It's really quite secure. You have to write, and access is really well documented. So they will put it on, and that's good enough for me. It's probably not good enough for the bank, so when the bank comes to us and wants it, then they can pay for it.
Okay.
And then Jay will close. Any comments from the floor?
Yeah, I have maybe some suggestions for the future agendas, not for this one. And thank you for making this as excellent as usually. I spoke to several people, it was a few of them, and they expressed the will to have some breaks because they say they don't have enough time to network, to talk to people. You know, it's a very busy day and there are usually no breaks except the lunch break. So would it be possible to accommodate like at least short breaks for any purpose you need? I know we have a lot of agenda and I understand why you don't do that, but maybe think of it next time.
The problem is we did not do that because we start late and we finish early. Yeah, if you do this on Monday, we always conflict with the opening ceremony. And we can think about it. Maybe if we feel that the signing card has too much time, then we'll start a little bit. We'll give a little bit break. But the point is, if you give them 10-minute breaks, they use at least 20. If you give them 50 minutes, they use at least 30. And then when you start, there is still 20 to 30 people running in getting their desktop, which is impolite to the speaker. So I am not really that much concerned about networking during lunch break. They are all doing their emails during their presentations. They are all doing their Facebook and their website. So if they were all closing their laptops and listening intently, then I would be more keen on saying we must... But I don't really think this is a good argument. If we don't have enough topics, I'm more than willing to do this. And if we can perhaps sort of between 15 sort of mistake, make a short break, and then we can even say we need to set it up technically and so on. But generally speaking, I'm not really that much keen on cutting basically 2 presentations because somebody wants to talk and can't do it over lunch or afterwards. Okay, that's hunky-dory. So I have been participating in a PGP key signing party that Bill Woodcock organized and advertised to DNSSEC, implementer or deployment. And of course, I thought this is quite a good idea too. It fits into what Christian Hesselmann's group is doing. And I thought it's a good idea on the next ICANN meeting, we will have on the tech day a presentation on how PGP works, how the signatures go, and how this task develops, and then we can sort of people who want to sign this beforehand can send in the keys and we can have sort of a signing party for 20 people. It's a bit boring because you have to identify yourself. So we can do this at the end when the other people are leaving, that the people who want to have their thing signed, they can leave there because you have to have your passport or your ID card and then you have to have your key and you have to read it exactly and everybody makes sure that the key that they sent in by email is the same that's on the paper and on a second thought, and that the person that sends it in is actually the person who he supposes to be and things. That's almost as boring as key signing, as DNS say key signing, but I think it's something that we could really do. It probably gives a little bit of an idea to the people who's supposed to use the secure communication thing, if they also understand what to do and how to do that. They can even do it right there and then. And in the end, we could develop a key ring under your management or something that where everybody can put it in and do that.
Yeah, well, that might work. So currently, the thing we're currently focusing on is using the mailing list I'll be talking about tomorrow to exchange contact information between folks. And not as so much. So we're not using the mailing list yet for secure communications, but that would be potentially the next step. So it might contribute. Yeah.
I personally am not aware of this mailing list, so I'm not contributing any secure information to it.
Yeah.
But you will present this tomorrow, and so I'm not. It's not a criticism. It's probably a good thing. But secure communication implies usually authentication and not so much encryption. So it's a good thing that will complement your efforts, and I just wanted to bring it up because I think it might be helpful.
Yeah. Well, currently we're only doing the authentication part, and the encryption part is not there yet. So I'd have to think about it a little bit, how this might fit into the secret work, to be honest.
Encryption, as far as I'm concerned, in this context with your secure communication, is not really the priority. You just want to make sure that if you inform somebody that the person reading it is the right person, and the person who sends it can be authenticated. Encryption comes into play, but it's not the main priority here, as far as I understand it.
Yeah. So what we're doing currently is that we use the IANA administrative contact as the authentication point, so to speak. So authentication is not done through asymmetric encryption keys, but it's done through a person, the administrative contact, because it's easy. Because we consider using PGP initially, but we figured it would be too complex to get it, let's say, running everywhere for every subscriber on the list. So that's why we chose a different approach.
Yeah, but it could be used for everybody who wants to use it or who can use it. I'm not trying to tell you what to do in your group. I'm just saying this is something that could be useful, and I think it's a good thing to do during this meeting. So I wanted to bring it up here. Christina has.
Yes, this is Christina. I just wanted to remind you to state your names before you speak for the transcript. Thank you.
Okay. So the last one was an exchange between Christian Hesselmann and Eberhard Lisse. Anyone else has got any topics for next time? Patrick?
Yeah, so Patrick Jones for the record. I think I sent this to some of you in the advance of this meeting. Something to think about for Tech Day a few ICANN meetings from now is that once the new meeting strategy is in place, it's envisioned that what we call meeting B of the three meeting series is for the SOAC work, and that there may not be sessions like the DNSSEC workshop, potentially Tech Day. There may not be other sessions besides the SOAC session, so this group should talk about that.
Sorry, I haven't paid any attention whatsoever to the new meeting plan, and I know it's probably quite complicated, but can you describe it on a postage stamp for me, please? It's my ignorance, but...
So I believe it was approved in either the LA meeting or the London meeting, and that the calendar would begin with the first meeting of 2016 would be listed as meeting A, and the meetings would rotate by a more typical ICANN meeting length for meeting A. Meeting B would be something that's shorter, of around 4 to 5 days. And then meeting C is the annual general meeting, and that's a full-blown ICANN meeting with the regular or a long meeting. So what the meeting strategy working group attended is that the meeting B of the series could hit some smaller places in developing countries where the size of the meetings have outgrown the spaces available. And the implications of that, I don't think, are well understood by very many groups that come to these meetings. So that's why I wanted to raise it for this group, because this may be a group that's impacted.
Of course, we will fight, or I will fight, tooth and nail to have Tech Day also on B meetings. In particular, if we, it sounds quite promising that we will apply for the next African meeting after Marrakesh, at least the vice chair of the GEC Fund, who happens to hail from Namibia, is very interested. He raised this point by himself. So we'll do the Tech Day anyway on that one meeting. But I think it's a good idea. We have to actually look at how we can cut this week shorter. My personal opinion is we should cut on the B meetings, the SO meetings shorter, and focus more on actual work that is produced.
Patrick? I completely hear what you're saying. Patrick Feltz from here, SAC, by the way. There are actually there are multiple reasons for coming up with A, B, and C meetings. And the other thing has to do with also the structure of the meeting itself, because the people that do the scheduling, and also for the SO and ACs, there have been a request to focus the meetings either being more inward-facing or external-facing, so people sort of know what kind of meeting it is, because more and more SO and ACs have been forced to ask for intersessional meetings just because they simply don't have time to do their work at the ICANN meeting itself. So I think the only thing that Patrick is saying is that it has been quite a lot of discussion regarding restructuring the meeting into these A, B, and C meetings. Now, the argument for the argument to have the B meetings being more sort of internal facing, and SO and HCs should concentrate on their internal work, doesn't mean that they should at the same time be various events just because we happen to be in a certain location. So yes, that should still happen, but it's something different from these like generic blah 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 meetings, if I call it that, at every meeting. So as long as you keep that into account when you are talking to the organization committee, because I think absolutely, and also it's for example in the FSAC interest, we have been asking for knowing, for example, what ICANN meetings can we concentrate on FSAC work, and what meetings should we concentrate on working FSAC with the other SO and ACs, and we have got a response on that. But for us, it's important to do outreach in the local community at every meeting, specifically when we are in developing countries. So that's sort of a little bit different thing.
Well, as far as Tech Day is concerned, this is exactly the same thing. We, at least the philosophy that I think we all have, is the outreach, and in particular to smaller CCD, which translates to smaller TLDs, which in the CC space translates into developing countries, but in the G space is slightly different. Now, it's not a matter of empire building. I have enough work as it is, and if I have to travel one meeting less per year, I wouldn't really be too much complaining about, though perhaps I would go to the ICANN meeting anyway. I am, however, observing the CCNSO program committee, and my opinion is that our meetings are one day too long. The accountability cross-community working group had a meeting in Frankfurt. It was one day too long. We have weekly phone calls of 2 hours. It's 1 hour too long. We could probably achieve as much or more by concentrating on the more important. We have routine, on each CCNSO meeting there's routine briefings to the board, to the GAC,
And we find out that after 5 years of briefing the GAC on the framework of interpretation working group principles, they have no clue that we ever did that. Yeah. So now, of course, in a good administration, every bureaucracy fights for their own empire and makes sure that only the other ones get cut and not us. But I think we must just state our case and see what's happening. In the end, it's all a matter of whether it can fit into. I think as far as the ICANN is putting resources into engagement, Adil Aplogan has been appointed as the VP of Technical Engagement. So I think we might be in a good position to defend our turf here.
Nobody else has got anything to say? They're all busy doing email?
Okay. Good. As usual, short and sweet. We'll be in the room Olivia tomorrow, 10:30. And that's it for today. Thank you, everybody, for coming.